never that inexorable Mrs. Org, is it? Nanny turned. There was no one behind her. Down here, said the voice. She looked down into a wide grin. Oh, blast, she said. It's me, Casanunda, said Casanunda, who was dwarfed still further by an enormous powdered wig. You remember? We danced the night away in Genoa.
No, we didn't.
Well, we could have done.
Fancy you turning up here,
said Nanny weakly. The thing about Casanunda, she recalled, was that the harder you slapped him down, the faster he bounced back, often in an unexpected direction. Our stars are entwined, said Casanunda. We're fated for one another. I want your body, Miss York.
I'm still using it.
And while she suspected, quite accurately, that this was an approach the world's second greatest lover used on anything that appeared to be even vaguely female, Nanny Og had to admit that she was flattered. She'd had many admirers in her younger days, but time had left her with a body that could only be called comfortable, and a face like Mr. Grape the Happy Raven. Long banked tires gave off a little smoke. Besides, she rather liked Casanunda. Most men were oblique in their approach, whereas his direct attack was refreshing.
It'd never work, she said. We're basically incompatible. When I'm 5'4", you'll still only be 3'9". Anyway, I'm old enough to be your mother.
You can't be. My mother's nearly 300, and she's got a better beard than you. And of course, that was another point. By dwarf standards, Nanny Org was hardly more than a teenager.
No, sir, he said, giving him a playful tap that made his ears ring. You do know how to turn a simple country girl's head and no mistake.
Casanunda picked himself up and adjusted his wig happily. I like a girl with spirit, he said. How about you and me having a little tete-a-tete when this is over? Nanny Og's face went blank. Her cosmopolitan grip of language had momentarily let her down.
Excuse me a minute, she said.
She put her drink down on his head and pushed through the crowd until she found a likely-looking duchess and prodded her in the bustle region.
Hey, your grace, what's a tete-a-tete? I beg your pardon? A tete-a-tete? Do you do it with your clothes on or what?
It means an intimate meeting, my good woman.
Is that all? Oh, pah.
Nanny Og elbowed her way back to the vibrating dwarf.
You're on, she said.
I thought we could have a little private dinner, just you and me, said Casanunda, in one of the taverns. Never, in a long history of romance, had Nanny Og ever been taken out for an intimate dinner. Her courtships had been more noted for their quantity rather than their quality.
Okay,
was all she could think of to say. Dodge your chaperone and meet me at 6 o'clock. Nanny Og glanced at Granny Weatherwax, who was watching them disapprovingly from a distance.
She's not my...
Then it dawned on her that Casanunda couldn't possibly have really thought that Granny Weatherwax was chaperoning her. Compliments and flattery had also been very minor components in the machinery of Nanny Og's courtship.
Yes, all right, she said.
And now I shall circulate so that people don't talk and ruin your reputation, said Casanunda, bowing and kissing Nanny Og's hand. Her mouth dropped open. No one